Yes, we are in Proverbs chapter 19, and tonight we begin in verse 10. So, how about you start?
Okay, the second time in a row, because yeah, I wasn't here for a while.
Because you weren't here for a while.
Just because I was sick. Number 10?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. How much worse for a slave to rule over princesses?
So what does that mean?
My comment says this phrase might also be rendered as not a pretty sight, instead of where it says it's not fitting.
No, it would not be a pretty sight for a slave to rule over a prince. Would not be a pretty sight. That's an interesting interpretation.
That's not bad.
If a fool is leading, they're not going to make good leaders. Right?
Right.
It's not going to be a pretty sight.
If a fool is leading, what happens? Foolish decisions. Right.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of fun full of chaos.
Yes, a lot of fun and full of chaos. Nothing gets accomplished. So where would we put these in these categories? This idea, this thought? I mean, I guess before we start the category review, what kind of thoughts does this bring to mind one word thoughts, discernment or something else like that? What do you think of when you hear these kinds of this particular statement?
Politics.
Biden.
What's that?
Biden.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that you say that, because I was reading my notes as Lester was reading hers. On verse 10, it says, neither the fool nor the servant are suited for possessions or responsibilities beyond their capabilities of managing wisely. So, I mean, they have some capabilities, but neither are suited for possessions or responsibilities. So when you said that, I was like, oh, yep, that's pretty much.
Yeah. There could be... So what categories would you assign this to? I need to stop asking questions, but why shouldn't fools live in luxury?
Because they're going to do bad things, they're going to hurt others.
It's so wicked.
Well, they're not called fools for being wise, you know, so. Right. I mean, you know, you have a fool living in luxury. I imagine they probably did something conniving or evil or some sort of way to get up top.
Money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I mean, you can be very foolish and you can do very foolish things if you are super wealthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see that. We have examples of that.
You know, you could view the slaves not necessarily as like referring to somebody of lower like social status, that like people who maybe are slaves to their sins, you know, or people who are ruling over us. Going back to like the politics thing, it's like, why do they make that decision? You know, they're slaves to their sins, to their greed, everything like that. That's driving their decision. Where, you know. Other people were princes because we follow the one true king. We don't have those other distractions.
Okay.
So what if you was to take the fool and say that it's a person who's really not a believer and doesn't really believe in God is the fool, why would he be able to live in luxury, which would be live in heaven for the rest of his life for eternity? Yeah. Just look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Look at it that way. That's
You know, the fool would be somebody that doesn't believe.
I'd be interested to see a different translation on that second sentence, because mine says servant ruling over princes. Jesus encourages us to have a servant mentality.
Correct.
So I would like to, I would be curious to see what was the original translation, right? Maybe servant's not the right word there.
So you're reading out of the New King James. Mm-hmm. Do we have another version?
Servant in Greek is deacon.
The
Aramaic, I don't know, or Hebrew.
Doulos. Yeah.
But the Old Testament is Hebrew, right?
Yes. What does the common English? Let's go to Tom. Tom's got the common English.
You want the whole thing or just the last one?
Let's do the whole thing. We'll see it all in perspective, but certainly, definitely looking at the last part.
It's not proper for a fool to live in luxury, nor for servants to tell princes what to do.
There. Does that help put a little more clarity to it? The idea is the prince is the one who's in authority and in charge. And we read something very similar to that where the...
Prince.
You know,
I said princesses, but I meant prince.
I can read into that one too deep, bro. Because when we're talking princes and kings, they're usually just status entitled by entitlement of birthright. Doesn't mean they're good at what they do.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the servant is it. So then, in that case, we can put ourselves in that time. And say, is a servant really going to tell a prince what to do?
No.
No. It's not appropriate, right? Regardless of whether they are good or bad, it's not an appropriate position to be in.
Thank you.
All right, so where would we assign this particular verse? Verse 10, what categories would you apply this to?
Fools.
Fools. Good.
Then I got lying.
Lying?
Yeah.
Good?
And greed.
Lying and greed?
Sorry, I'm saying it.
I put down pride.
Could you even go so far to say money, especially with part of the verse?
Yeah, you could definitely say that. I also looked at it from the perspective of how we should be. Taking that statement as how should I be? So I also assigned this to the categories of self-control and contentment, and realizing my place at work. There's a boss, and I don't need to be telling him what to do. I have a role, and I need to do my role, right? Sometimes that's hard. Let's do verse 11.
A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense.
Okay. I feel like this is the cliff notes when Jesus says, turn the other cheek. You don't understand that. You just read this passage and it gives it to you exactly as you need it.
That self-control you just mentioned.
Self-control, yeah. What is the idea that we're talking about? It is, so a man's wisdom is his patience, and we're still talking about that man, and we say his glory is to overlook that offense. What is that idea?
But to me, it's kind of like the older we get, the more wisdom that we have to realize what's being said really ain't that big a deal.
Yeah,
and it's easier to overlook it.
It's the idea of picking and choosing your battles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that really the hill I'm going to die on with that argument, with that piece? or is it something that I really need to take it, go after? Right?
In parentheses, Martin says, without seeking revenge and harboring resentment.
Yeah. Good. Without seeking
revenge. Forgiveness
be
part of that?
Yeah, forgiveness.
Forgiving that, whatever that offense is.
Whatever the offense is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, forgiveness would definitely be big in that. So what categories? We've kind of talked about some of them already. But what categories would you assign this verse to?
Obviously wise, I would say.
Yeah, wise.
Self-control.
Self-control. Accountability. That's a new one to add.
Patience.
Yep, patience. What about the idea of gentleness?
Yes.
Gentleness is in the fourth category over on the right hand side. And then also, what about mercy and grace? Sometimes it's often important that we give a little mercy, offer some grace, overlooking the offenses of others.
And his mercy is more, you know?
To quote in the song, his mercy is more, yeah. All right, verse 12.
The king's wrath is as a roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass.
Anybody here ever heard the lion's roar?
Roar.
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 You ever heard him in from a den roaring? It's a terrifying sound.
That's it.
Yeah. I heard my mom holler at me a couple times. So I heard my mom holler at me a couple times when I was a teenager.
I think that'd be worse than the lions. So what are we describing here in this verse? The wrath of the king is like a roaring lion. What are we describing?
You said terrifying.
Yeah, scary. Fear. Fear.
May not be the right thing, but it kind of makes me think that, you know, you always remember somebody kind of for the negative things they do, for the things they yell at you. You don't really remember the soft, nice things they do, but you do remember, you know, when they yell at you and are loud or anything like that.
I think of this kind of as like a way of like where, in a way, like somebody putting you in your place. Like, you know, like when they, not like quite, think of it as like when you're a very young child and you have a parent that like is very stern with you, kind of like a stern yell, and you're just like, okay, you know, puts you back in place where it's like.
Grabs
you know,
your attention, maybe?
Yes, yeah.
Well, the king ultimately is God, so. In Revelation, it talks about how all the people were terrified at all the things that were happening. And then it talks about the dew on the grass, and it refers to Hosea 14:5, which says, I shall be like the dew to Israel.
and will blossom like the lily. So, talking about God is our due, so to speak.
Okay, so let's cover the second half of this. So we have this king that's got our attention. So what is it that his favor or grace?
The obedience.
Obedience. What is dew like on the grass? Anybody ever gone out and looked at it, walked through it?
It comes every day.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. Tenuous.
Gone quickly with the sun. Yeah. Is it heavy?
Sometimes walk outside.
Yes. Sometimes it can be a heavy dew, right? But what is it mostly? I mean, is it
soft?
Soft, right?
It's water that's
gentle.
Just, you know, it's refreshing the grass.
Yeah.
It's not a hard rain to water the earth. It's gentle, soft watering of the earth.
Yeah. It's the coming alongside and refreshing the grass, right? So when we put this in perspective of God, who is the king, he does get angry about things, doesn't he? He gets angry about our sin. He gets angry. He will be at the end of time pouring out his wrath on people that don't accept him as their savior. They've had all of these examples. But at the same time, he is that person who comes alongside and gives us a nice cool drink, allows the dew to fall. When we were working in the camp and conference centers a long time ago, I would always watch the weather, and if there was a heavy dew, or any dew for that matter, I knew that day it was not going to rain. But I had to get up early to see it. If there's dew on the ground, it's not going to rain. The grass has already got its drink that it needed, and we're going to move on. It's on the days that there was no dew that I got a little bit concerned that it was going to may rain that day, or it was soon to come.
Dew? I never heard of dew before.
Dew is the rainwater that's on the grass in the morning when it hasn't rained.
It bubbles up. It looks like rain.
You know, you get up in the morning and everything's kind of damp, but it hasn't rained.
How about frost? You know, when you get up in the wintertime and everything's got a frost, it's all frosty outside.
Like frost on.
Yeah, same thing, but it's warm outside.
It's just not frozen.
Just not frozen.
Oh,
yeah. Go outside barefoot, you'll find it.
Yeah. Feet get wet and didn't rain.
You're not getting up early enough. You're not getting
up
early. You don't want to be the grass early.
Like 5 o'clock in the
morning. Yeah, you'll see.
Yeah, there you go. Sometimes it's like it dirty.
Or sleeping in a tent.
It's still wet outside.
In the shade, yeah.
All right, so this idea of all of this, where can we go with these categories?
Discernment. Holy God.
Holy God.
Sovereign God.
Sovereign God. What's that?
Wise.
I didn't hear you.
Wise.
Compassion, mercy, and grace.
Mercy and grace, yes. Did you say compassion also?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear that part.
How about influence?
Yeah, it can. How would you explain that?
Well, the king's wrath, solid God's wrath, can like kind of influence you because he's trying to guide you on the right path.
Good.
Because if he's like that father figure, and if he's like, he's like stern, but not too stern. Sometimes he's more stern.
Good.
If it's a manly king, not our God king, rage comes from fear, so it's selfishness, so it'd be pride.
Yep, we can definitely look at selfishness and pride, can't we? Mm-hmm. All right, verse 13.
A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual drooping.
What is a constant drip?
Like a faucet, like a drip.
Yep. What is that?
Annoyance.
Annoying.
I think it's kind of cool. I'm just kidding.
Anybody want to talk about this one, or are we just passing by?
We should go with verse 12 and use our discernment on this.
Right?
Men can quarrel just as much as women.
That's right. And we said that from the very get-go when we started talking about Proverbs, where it says men and women, we need to make sure that we understand that that goes both ways. So when we look at this from King Solomon's perspective, what is he trying to tell the future leaders, these young men that he's talking to? What's he trying to say here?
Careful who you marry. Choose wisely.
Yeah, choose wisely.
Be careful how you raise, especially your sons in this instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be careful how you raise your sons. Be careful how you behave. Be careful what you say. Be careful who you choose to marry.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think also in a way, I think when he's saying this, it might as well too. Like, if I was to look at this in a different perspective, it could be a perspective for parents, to say, make sure you raise your sons well and you raise your daughters well too, so they don't, grow up to be a father's ruin or a nagging wife, or a nagging wife, where it's raise your children properly, and as well as that, apply this to yourself too.
Yeah, that's a very good way to look at this. For the record, my wife is not annoying at all.
I got used to it.
I wait a minute. I might be annoying sometimes, but I am not obstinate and argumentative.
No, she's not.
I have a gift from God.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes.
Because a wife and a son are both gifts from God.
Yeah.
You're supposed to take care of them
properly. So verse 13, we can assign to gift from God. Where else can we assign this? I think Hannah had a pretty good point there.
Those parents.
Parents, husbands, wives, children. Addie, where would you put this? You read it.
I did read it.
I shouldn't put you on the spot like that.
No, it's okay.
How about instruction?
Yeah.
Yes. There you go. Instruction.
Instruction.
Getting ready to say
obedience. Instruction.
Discernment.
All of those. Faithfulness, obedience, instruction. Discernment. What about kindness? One of the things that this kind of addresses is this idea of just being kind. And that's one of the things that God wants us to do. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, actually. Kindness, gentleness. The idea that just being kind is important, right? It's an attribute that we have, we can have, and that we may have to learn.
Wow, that takes time.
Yes, it does. Takes time to be kind.
There's sometimes you just want to say what you want to say, but sometimes
yeah. All right, verse 14. Where's the turtle? Got to pass the turtle.
There are a couple more. All right. Money and houses can be inherited, but a good wife is a gift from the Lord.
That says it all.
Even his commentary is clear.
My neck. Oh,
I think this goes to the point of, you know, a prudent wife is from the Lord, and you have to be very mindful about who you choose as your mate.
Yep. Mine says
prudent.
Prudent? Prudent wife is from the Lord.
You can get riches from an inheritance, but.
Uh-huh. But that's a prudent.
You don't inherit a good wife.
Right? It's not going to fall in your lap.
It's not going to fall in your lap.
I don't just give her to you yet.
Thank you.
So what'd you learn?
Acting of showing care.
Showing care. Prudent. Showing care. So where would we put this in our categories?
Path.
Yep.
You put it in love and humility.
There you go. 14. Love and humility. Anywhere else?
Gift from God.
Gift from God. Would you also assign this to both husbands and wives, or men and women?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I agree.
Blessings.
Blessings? That's a write-in. Blessing. All right, verse 15.
Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger.
Hmm.
And I love my commentary. Can I read that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
The Proverbs have no kind words for slothfulness, the habit of a sluggard. The Proverbs call for mercy and compassion on the poor and the weak, but only contempt for the lazy.
So let's explore that a little bit. Why would it be like that?
The poor may not be by choice, but someone who's a sluggard, they've chosen not to do it.
If you're poor, you can't afford to be lazy. You'll die. But, you know, if you're a sluggard, you can have everything. So it's, you're... You know, we've all been gifted life, and you're choosing not to engage in life. So it's, yeah.
You have the potential to do, but you do not, mm-hmm. right?
I think it's the ultimate selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, I don't care about anyone else. I don't want to be nice to them. I don't want to engage with them. I don't want a relationship with them. I don't want to love them. I want to be lazy and do nothing.
What'd you say? pride. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's an extreme, but.
Is it easy to be lazy?
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
I think back in times of my life, I've been lazy. Don't tell her.
I think you just told her myself.
But I've been lazy before, and it is very easy to do that.
Yes.
And it does put you in this place where you just feel tired all the time. Right? You're just sleepy. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. Brings on procrastination. All of those things. Causes us to be idle.
I heard somebody say that, you know, the devil doesn't need to make us, he doesn't need to make us turn away from God. He just needs to stop us from talking about him. You know, it's not necessarily, he doesn't need to kill us to defeat us. He just needs me to turn on my TV and start watching the next TV show, and then on and on and on. Next thing you know, 4 years of your life are gone. And you've done nothing to build God's kingdom.
How do we encourage people that we may see in that situation? How do we encourage them without tearing them down? And that's a fine line, right?
There's something that, like, I do within counseling with individuals where when there's people that say, like, for example, like, I want to change this, or I want to be a better person, or I want to get this accomplished, but I don't know how, or things like that. And I ask them, okay, so in an ideal world, what would be perfect for you? Like, if you could have everything you wanted right now, what would it look like? You know, they talk about it, and they're like, well, I'd be going to school, I'd get my degree, or I'd do this, or I'd do that. And I'm like, what is stopping you? You know, and some people say it's time, some people say it's resources and stuff. Then you give them the option. You're like, would you like to do that? You know, would you like to choose to do that? And I think that kind of shows people's true colors and stuff. But, like, when you really think down to it, like, you know, what is stopping me from, you know, like, going out and sharing the gospel? Or what is stopping me from sharing Jesus with somebody? I think it's just, you think about the repercussions, or you think about, like, you know, the embarrassment or whatever. But, it, like, at the end of the day, that's so minimal compared to planting a seed for somebody. You know, like, you never know that person. There's three things you can always get from sharing the gospel. Either, you know, you plant a seed where, you know, they hear Jesus, you get them to accept the gospel, or you make a friend, you know, where it's like the embarrassment or the, you know, toughness of having that conversation is so minimal compared to, like, what we can actually do within that.
So it sounds like we have to go out of our way to help and encourage, mm-hmm. right?
Make it a priority.
Yeah, make it a priority for us to come alongside someone who might be struggling.
You have to make it intentional. You can't just, like,
yeah.
You can't even out just like out of other people. So like, if you can't help them guide Jesus without being intentional, that's the point.
Yeah, you have to be intentional with what you're
doing.
With what you're doing, or your You have to be intentional.
Yeah, I think it shows somebody's true colors when you ask them, like, what's stopping you from doing it? And they would say, like, well, I just don't want to lose this relationship that I have with a person, or I just don't want to seem like, you know, like what somebody has told me before. I just don't want to seem like a Jesus freak. And I'm like, that probably tells me everything that I need to know from that.
So they're making excuses to
hide their fear. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I think that shows that you probably need a little bit more growth in your relationship, and you need to really look down to, you know, what am I doing as a Christian if I'm not capable, or I'm not going to share the gospel with somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's a true fear, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is something that is true that we all have to deal with.
Right.
That fear.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a self-worth issue.
Yeah.
I don't feel worthy of, you know, having a relationship with someone else, or I'm not important enough to go organize an event, or, you know, whatever it is they're being lazy about. You know, so We have to make them feel valuable.
Help them see their own value, mm-hmm. right? I think that comes with looking at people through the eyes of Christ, right? And when we try to do that, we were driving up north, and unfortunately, me and cars just don't get along. Mm-hmm. We were driving up north yesterday, and the idea of getting behind people that just aren't. I've had to be very quiet behind the wheel, and it was so frustrating yesterday, right? I'm not trying to distract from what you just said, but it's recognizing this is where I'm going with this, seeing them through the eyes of Christ, right? That's what we're talking about. So weeks ago, last year, we talked about driving, and we're not supposed to call people idiots, and we're not supposed to say people are fools. God reserves that for his response. That's his priority, right? And so driving, I have to come up with all kinds of different be quietness for me. You know, right? I mean, Crystal just started laughing the whole time up there. All she could do is just laugh because I was just trying not to, look at them poorly, but to look at them. God says I can't say you're an idiot. God says I can't say you're a fool. I can say that that's foolish behavior, but is it? Is what they're doing foolish, or am I being foolish? That introspection. But the idea of seeing people and people who struggle with this, we need to be able to see them with value, right?
I love the challenge that the question that you asked, because I was reading another commentary that I follow, and here it talks about a person who's lazy, idle. It says an idle soul. So one that is idle in the affairs of his soul, that takes no care or pains to work out his salvation, they shall perish for want of that which is necessary to life and happiness of the soul. Which, to your point, and to Hannah's point, it's, we look upon those people and we're like, they're just lazy. But even more importantly is they have an idle soul. It's in some ways it could verge on being soulless. I think that's the part when we see this type of person is that we need to be incredibly concerned about where their soul is at. More so than the fact that they're sitting there being lazy. We're concentrating on the fact of just get up, go do something, I think that idleness of the soul, I'm like, okay, that really concerns me because that's way deeper than, that's a person's life or death. Not just, like I said, being lazy.
Helping them see value as Christ sees them.
Right, yeah, going back to that, that's...
because we all have a tendency to be lazy,
and it's not easy in any way, shape, or form to convince somebody or pull them out of that or whatever verbiage you want to use there. But
come alongside. That's all we're called to do. Come alongside. Help them stand firm, just like we are asked to stand firm.
Okay. So it's not us doing any of the work, right?
Right, it's just being there.
And I think Crystal hit on something that just because they're not doing something doesn't mean they're not lazy. And I think we have a tendency in our culture to think that if we aren't being productive every second of the day, mm-hmm. then we're being lazy. And I think it's okay to be idle when we are supposed to be idle, and not label that as lazy. And that.
I agree. Because there's a point where you get caught up in the rigidity of routine and you start putting your reliance upon that, and you should be able to just be still and have that, I'm okay, it's all right, because I know where my faith is, I know, I believe.
But to Crystal's point, though, there's a difference, right? And we need to be able to recognize the difference between, are they really lazy and we really need to be concerned for them, or are they just having some downtime?
Right? They just stuck.
Right, exactly.
Good. So what categories can we assign this verse 15? Excuse me?
Self-control.
Self-control.
Greed and pride.
Greed and pride.
Not just selfish with your time, if you just start
self-burdening. Yep. Selfishness.
Well,
in pity,
then it goes so far as to put lying.
Oh. Lying to yourself.
Illusion.
Yes, illusion.
Or also be poor and needy.
Poor and needy.
If, you know, if you're being lazy and not reading your Bible and just being, I mean, if you count that.
Yeah.
You know, it says you will hunger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good conversation. Verse 16.
So your poor need would be poor of spirit.
Yeah.
And you would be more needed than
spiritual
change of mind.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else? Verse 16.
He who obeys instructions guards his life, but he who is contemptuous of his ways will die.
What is the second part of your ego?
Contemptuous.
So what are some other words for contemptuous you might have in your version?
Despise.
One says careless.
The one who commands preserves himself, but the one who disagrees, his ways will die.
There you go. Disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we obey instruction, we save our soul, but if we are contemptuous or, what was your word?
Despising.
Ignoring. We're not caring for our own life, then we're going to, we'll die.
Yeah. Right?
It's a pretty drastic statement, isn't mm-hmm. it? Very vivid.
Yeah.
Not drastic, but vivid, rather, is the word.
I think it's, you know, any time that, you know, maybe something like some Christians maybe struggle with is the idea that, you know, we sin because, you know, somewhere deep down inside us, we still kind of despise God's words. You know, we maybe not despise it, we want it, but like we still kind of, we don't want to follow the rules kind of deep down. You know, it's, you know, we're still morally corrupt day by day, you know, and it's, you know, like, I think sometimes we put on a frame of our mind, we're like, well, I did these three things, and so it's okay, or like, I give, so it's okay if I do this, but by you doing that, you know, you're still despising what's here. You know, you're still going against what's here. So, yeah.
Good.
When I think of this verse, I kind of think about, for plenty of the veterans out there, basic training 101, where they're like, listen, you listen to your drill sergeant, you do what you say, or what they say, you know, and you don't be independent. You don't be that one person that just decides, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want, because, you know, they're teaching us, you know, this is the way that you survive, you know, and this is the way that you fight, and you have to rely on other people and rely on your drill sergeants, and you can't question them when it comes down to them telling you what you need to do, because there are certain things that you do, like, you know, when you go out on range or when you're, you know, throwing grenades, you don't just do what you want to do, you do what they say to do so you can survive, and not only that, but you can be taught the proper way, how to, you know, like, function in those situations. That's at least what I think of as, like,
I will not last in the military.
Yep. So where would we assign verse 16? What categories could we put verse 16 in?
So
humility.
Excuse me?
Humility.
Humility. That's good.
In the first part. Obedience. Disrespect in the second part.
Salvation.
Obedience, salvation, instruction.
Illusion.
What's that?
Illusion. So, he that keepeth, my Bible says, he that keepeth the commandment, which is that thou shalt love the Lord, that's the commandment.
Yeah. Verse 17.
Mm-hmm. Kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord, and he will give a reward to the lender.
And what was the last?
A reward to the lender.
To the lender. Good. This will be our last one for the night.
Oh.
What are we talking about here?
Storing up fruits in heaven.
Yeah, storing up our fruit in heaven, right?
Yeah.
Charity.
Charity. Big long B word, benevolence. Mm-hmm. So it's actually describing here the action of giving to someone who is in need.
Or poor.
Right? It could be poor. They could just be going through a hard time.
You help the poor, you know, they need to know the Lord.
Yeah, so if you are being, if you are giving out of your heart, but with full humility to help someone else, this proverb says we are lending that gift, not just to that family that needs it, but we're lending that to the Lord.
One of the cross references goes back to chapter 14, mm-hmm. and talks about the fact that it actually offends our Creator, God, when we neglect the poor, who are His own creation.
Yeah. So it's important that we come alongside those who
have needs,
whether they're physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs.
Spiritual needs.
And then what do we do?
Do what?
Then what do we do?
when you get alongside them?
Go grab a big megaphone and brag to everybody what we did.
No, it's not about that. It's about,
Be careful, do not do your acts of righteousness before them to be seen by them. If you do, you've already received a reward from your Father.
There you go. Yep. It's the idea that you come alongside quietly. And that's the idea of giving that back to God. And He sees what you're doing, and He lays that to your account. But no one else needs to know what you did. It's that idea of pride, right? Humility. So what categories, and we'll call it quits on this one, but what categories can we assign verse 17?
I figured heart.
Heart?
Yeah.
Scott, what'd you say?
Humility. Mercy.
Mercy.
Goodness.
Goodness.
She said compassionate.
Kindness. Compassionate.
I think it also, path would be another good one, you know. The path that we take,
we're
falling.
We're in the presence of needy people all the time, whether, like you said, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, whatever.
Following instruction of what Jesus told us to do.
Following the instructions? So, we didn't quite get through all the chapter. We're getting close. I've got two things. One, as a wrap-up, kind of what have we been looking at mostly this evening? How would you describe this evening's seven verses that we went through? If you were to kind of recap the last seven, what would you say we're mostly focusing on? I mean, you can look back at your categories and see, but what kind of behaviors, there we go, what kind of behaviors is it asking us to model?
I don't think it's necessarily, we talked a lot about like encouragement, like encouraging others.
Okay. Kindness?
Yeah.
It's making the right choices. Making the right choices.
Making good choices.
Kindness versus foolishness.
Yeah. Kindness versus foolishness. Good choices.
I think it's being the image of God. We should be portraying that.
Yeah. Portraying the image of God. Yeah. And compassion. Good. I like that. That's a good recap for the evening. As you are looking at next week, I will tell you this, verse 22. I would encourage you to open up not only your Bible, but look at other versions. You can do that through the phone or your computer or whatever. Find some electronic copies or something and look up different versions to explain verse 22. Because if you just read one version, it doesn't matter whether it's King James, New King James. You've got to kind of get them all together it kind of helps put that one item in perspective. And I think it'll be a good talking point. Let's pray, and we'll head up. Thank you very much for coming this evening. Dear Lord, we do love you. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being the King. And thank you for allowing us to have a relationship with you. Lord, this evening, these seven verses, we have covered ideas of compassion, kindness, humility, love, grace, and mercy. Lord, may we pick one or two of those this week to work on, to encourage others this week in our own life, the people that we walk next to every day, the people that we have lockers next to, the people that we have offices next to, the people that we have to work with. Help us to show these attributes of you to them. May our light shine brighter for you this week, and others see it and be encouraged, and allow us to give to them a measure of encouragement. We love you. We thank you very much for the opportunity of reading your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Set up the gym for the funeral time.